Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is March 21st, 2019.
The world is in turmoil. Most do not realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, you can text him at 316-619-4886. The reason we say text is because there's a lot of, you know, those telemarketing calls. He doesn't always answer the phone if he doesn't know the number, so give him a text and he'll get back with you.
Yeah, and I may have good news on that. I switched to that email thing, which has that weird woman answering the phone, which
yes.
I asked you to record one, but you haven't recorded a message for me. But that email's really pretty neat. It's been wiping out a bunch of phone calls. But I'm fixing to go a step further than email, I think, because I found this bot that's supposed to be for free. And what it does is it not only does what email does, but email also lets me, it sends me an email and lets me check my phone from, you know, from my email box. But this other one is really, really neat because you know what it does? It's vengeance, man. It has its own bot that, you know, they give numbers and stuff to call back. It calls them back and makes up things and takes up their time and is a robot itself. So robot to robot. Look at that age that we're in. It's robot battle.
My mom and dad always taught me two wrongs don't make it right.
That's not wrong to call them back. I mean, you know, folks, if you think it's wrong for me to use a robot as a revenger, send me an email and let me know whether my wife's right or I'm right. Anyway, you can always find updates of the Breaking News, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com.
Prophecyhour.com. And by the way, my producer thinks Frank just sent me a message and he thinks it's a great idea. Anyway, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internet, but it's on YouTube and it's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime.
On another note, let's thank our listener base, Kampala, Uganda, Saudi Arabia.
That's Riyadh.
Okay, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Dudley, UK, Paris, France, and of course the good old cities of the U.S. like Plano, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, Mesa, Arizona, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners that listen later tonight when it podcasts to our pod site.
Yeah.
Is that a right word?
Yeah, but let's go with this. Folks in Mesa, it's not, I don't know that it's a mess down there in Arizona, and you drop the mouse to the other computer.
And the button.
And that is the Skype computer, so you're going to have to.
Well, we'll have to find it at break. Let's continue on. We're on air.
Well, okay. You know what air is. All right. Here's the ball back. Okay. Sorry, folks. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77, Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I come against all the bad spirits that seem to have been working today against your servants. I ask that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and we turn everything over to you tonight. So please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth and lift the veil from their hearts. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, they already know who you are. I guess everybody, that if you're new to the program, this is, I'm Pastor Dan, and this is my wife.
Linda.
Really? How come I get in trouble for calling you that?
Mom.
Okay.
Grandmom.
Yeah, amen.
Sister Linda.
All right, all right. Well, I don't know what to, first, I think, you know, today, we got some, well, first some good news. For Purim, I'll give some good news. So, Trump, it came out, the announcement today. I don't think I got it last night, so it's today, and today is what?
Purim.
Purim, and I'm going to tap into you to tell the people what it's about here in a minute. But Trump says now he stands behind Israel and recognizes Israel's sovereign rights over the Golan Heights. Now, you know, in the last few weeks, we've even talked about how, you know, a lot of prophecy people were out there were ready to pounce right on Trump and saying his peace plan was going to destroy Israel. No, he's not taking away land. He's expanding land. The Golan Heights is a mountain height, so to speak, that's on the border between Israel and Syria. It was taken Israel captured the Golan which is overlooking northern Israel from Syria in the 1967 Mideast War. And they annexed it there in 1981, if Syria had that, all they'd have to do is go to kind of like the top of the hill and they'd be shooting down into Israel. And Israel is just a little tiny speck, you know what I mean? It isn't as big as Kansas. And so they would be, so it's very strategic for them to keep it. And, you know, let alone the fact that the father gave it to them and a whole bunch of other land. But here's the point. So, actually, after the 8-day civil war, you know, the United Nations has been trying to get Israel to give back that to Jordan, or to Syria. And that would be like committing suicide. Well, now that Trump is the first president, says it's a part of Israel, it's sovereign to them, that's their land. So the more we hear about his peace plan, the better it seems to be getting. And so this is another blessing. But again, going back with that, so today is Purim. So what is Purim, Mother?
It's in remembrance of Queen Esther saving the Jewish people from genocide.
From genocide. Well, what was the general plot?
The queen disobeyed the king, and so if the king hadn't replaced her, then women would have followed suit. So they killed the queen and replaced her with Esther. And
okay, remember, talk to the microphone on. But by the way, folks, I'll have that problem cured next week because we have a new board, and it has a thing called a compressor on it. And so if she talks low and I talk high, it will even us out. But you got to, in the meantime this week, got to remember to talk towards the mic. Okay, but so, yeah, actually, well, what happened was there was this evil guy by the name of Haman who wanted to get rid of Mordecai and all the Jews.
Which was Esther's uncle.
Right, Esther's uncle. They wanted to get rid of all the Jews. And so he got the king of Persia, to go along with it without really any research. He just said, hey, these guys are bad, basically. Let's kill them on a certain day. And he said, okay. And he signed a decree. Well, Mordecai, which is Esther's who?
Uncle.
He decided that he found out about it, the plot, and he told it to Esther. And so Esther was replacing the queen because the queen did what now?
Disobeyed. She wouldn't dance in front of the party with her clothes off, and so she disobeyed the king.
Right. So the Persian king was having a great big party with a whole bunch of, you know, of his buddies from surrounding nations and everything. And he wanted about halfway through the party, and when it was at a drunk point, he ordered the queen to come up and dance naked, you know, dance for all the men. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. But it would have been standard practice because of the time and everything they lived in. But she said no. Well, so all the men said, well, you better get rid of her, otherwise our wives will do the same thing. And so they had this big contest, and Esther was chosen. But he didn't know she was a Jew. She hid her Jewish, you know, who she was. And actually, the Jews were there in captivity in Persia at that time. So anyway, to make a long story short, so her uncle told her, well, you need, because you got picked as the queen, you need to put a plea in for your people. Well, and that happened, but, you know, had Esther not been put in it, well, let's go with this. Had not the, that Esther been put in there to be the queen, then the Jews would have been wiped out, and that was the largest proportion of the Jews. They were all in captivity at that time. And so they would have been, it would have been genocide. They'd all been wiped out. But, so it's a historic thing, and every year we read a thing, and it's called the Megillah. Well, what is the Megillah?
It's the book of Esther.
It's the book of Esther. And so we read it every holiday, and you can even tell us without even glancing up there. What do we do when we hear there's Haman and Mordecai? Every time we read the name Haman, what do we do?
Boo!
And when we read the name Mordecai?
Yay!
Yay! So, you know, it's fun.
It's, and it's funny because every year, and I still, even when I'm just talking, I catch myself now, but I always say Mordecai. No, it's Mordecai, Linda.
Mordecai. Anyway, but it's really significant because, you know, this was a great evil was put aside that would have wiped out the Jewish people. And, you know, it would have been genocide. It would have been a genocide. And for the record, right now, anti-Semitism is at its highest point since the time of Adolf Hitler. And anti-Semitism is simply hatred of the Jews to the point that you want to kill them. Well, right now, it's higher worldwide, the hatred for the Jews, than it was at the time of Hitler.
And I just got, I'm connected to all the Trump things that are on the internet, but I just got a thing today from one of their sites that there's a new movement, and I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but it's Jew in front of the word Exodus, Jew Exodus, and that's the new movement. And the woman that's heading it up says all the Jews are for Trump. They're wanting to save. It's time to step up. If we don't do something, we're going to be a socialist communist country.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, people look at it. You, right now, the mask needs to go down. You know, it's really not. It's not. There's not even a resemblance of what the Democratic Party used to be, so to speak. It's all headed by left radicals. And everything that they lost, so now they just want to change the rules. One of the first things that we can talk about real briefly is they want to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, in brief, here's what the Electoral College does. And I, even when I was young, I thought, well, why doesn't a popular vote?
I wanted to get rid of it when I was growing up, too. Why they got that? And people voted for the person and then the Electoral College.
Right. So what it would boil down to, if we had the Electoral College, California, New York, Texas, and a couple of, and I think that they showed two other liberal states would decide the whole election.
Right.
Because of where, that's where the population is at. So you would be, basically, it would be very hard, even with just, with Texas, you know, because it's a big state. But if all of those other liberal states voted for a liberal president, we could do nothing about it. The rest of the states, we would all be ignored. It would all be run by them. And so they want to change the rules. They want to get rid of the Electoral College so they can do that. It's just like so that's the rule they want to change. It's just like they want no borders so they can invite everybody in because these, and you got to wonder, well, why do immigrants want to vote for Democrats? Because they're letting them in and giving them all the welfare. And they come, and here's the big deal. They're used to those kinds of governments. They don't know what a free nation living under capitalism really is. All they hear is the evil input, or output, however you want to say it, from the world about how bad capitalism is. So they'll vote with the Democrats. And you would, if they have open borders, we're gone. We're almost gone right now.
And here's the thing with the Electoral College deal. There's already 13 states that are behind it, and they're saying for it to become law, they only need the 270 electoral votes that they need for the president, and right now they only need 72 more votes, and it will be
law. That's it's a little bit different than that. Actually, there's 13 states that want to do it. You have to have more You're talking about a different law. See, what they did, the Democrats are all saying they're jumping on board this law that each state is passing because the Electoral College is part of the Constitution. You have to have three-quarters of the state to the states to change it. They don't have that number in any way, shape, or form, period. But what they want to do is they came up with this law that says that they'll award their votes in a different manner.
Yeah, I read that too.
Right, and that's what you're talking about. And they said that it's no worry right now. Because, see, you say, well, why is it that if it's against the Constitution, why is it being challenged? Because there is no, you have to have somebody that's injured from the law or could be injured from the law. Well, right now, with just those states going along with it, it's not enough. They don't have enough electoral votes just to take the election. But when they get past the number of 270, that's the magic number. That's what it takes to, you know, for one side to win. Okay. So what that will do, it will trigger lawsuits from those states that says, from the states that their votes won't matter. And so then it will go to court and to the Supreme Court to decide if it's constitutional or not. And so, you know, really right now, there's no worry about it till they sign on states big enough to do that. But you gotta remember, it will have to take a constitutional amendment to change it because it's part of the Constitution. It's not just something that can happen. But if Trump gets out of office, if they vote in a Democrat, or let's just call them liberals, or Democrats, or demon rats, as Frank calls them.
As Linda calls them.
Well, right. But I will honestly say, I'm sure there's some good Democrats out there that, you know, don't realize all these things. So I can't say all of them are demons. I won't go that far. But the point is that, if we lose the presidency and we don't get busy, and if we lose the Senate, if the Democrats get completely in control, they're going to change everything. This country is going to look worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And
it'll be like Venezuela.
Well, and you look at all the things that they want to change. You know, they want to do away with the Electoral College. They want to change the filibuster rules. They want to take control of Congress so they can get rid of the filibuster rules. No way for a minority to make it hard for something to be passed. They want to stack the Supreme Court. You know, traditionally, now the Constitution doesn't say how many people can sit on the Supreme Court. Traditionally, it's went back and forth down to about 6 and up to, I think, its highest point, 10. And Trump now wants to do something about it, and there's a couple people wanting to produce bills that will cause an amendment to the law that defines it so that they can't stack the court. You know what it means by stacking the court?
Yeah, they make their decision before you ever have court. They know what they're going to say.
No, that's not stacking the court. Stacking the court means, now remember, I'm talking about numbers. Right now, we have 9, right? 9 people on the Supreme Court. Well, because these guys have lifetime appointments, you know, right now, technically, except we have a sway vote in one of the justices, but it's 5-4, and those are lifetime appointments. And so also judges, we'll just talk about Supreme Court. Anyway, 5-4. So what they want to do is stack the Supreme Court because they can't get rid of these justices because they're lifetime appointments. And so right now it's 5-4. So what they want to do is add a bunch more judges, you know, to the Supreme Court. Instead of 9, they want to take it up to 15. They want to completely outnumber the others, and there's nothing in the Constitution that's stopping them from doing it. And so you understand? So they just add as many as they want until they get the number they want. And so that's called stacking the court. And so, you know, it was brought up by one president, I think, I don't remember, maybe Eisenhower once, and he was completely almost ridiculed out of office for talking about it. That is just one of their plans. But this is putting demons in charge of our, these people that are speaking out and they want to kill babies. I mean, they have literally gotten so bloodthirsty. They want to kill live babies, you know, when they come out. Oh, it's up to the mother after they come out. Really, after they come out?
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not even saying it's a different thing for them to be killed in the womb, but after they come out, but let alone slaughter them after they're out on the table, make them comfortable, and then kill them. if the mother says so. Well, and they act like there isn't very many that are done in late trimester, but there is thousands and thousands that are slaughtered every year in that. But one state did get one thing passed they wanted passed, is that it's been they couldn't force them to look at the mother to look at a sonogram before the child was born. But now they want they passed a law in one state. I had it in notes in the other computer, and I'll get to that in a minute. But another state passed law that says the woman has the right and should look at her baby before it's aborted in the womb, so they can see what it is, you know, actually see it. And they believe that'll stop a lot of abortions. And
I believe it will, too.
And Kentucky just passed two more laws. And the laws in Kentucky, if they're not beaten in court, basically completely bans abortion. But, you know, we need to beat these things back. But the only way that we can do it is to stand up with Trump. You know, all the evil we hear spewed about him or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. This man is standing up for Israel. He's standing up for human rights. I mean, for the life of children. And he's doing
the American people.
Right. And the economy is the best it's been in ages. You know what? They had a shock, this guest on CNN, and she was a Muslim. And I don't remember what else it was. It was in my notes. But she came on CNN, they were getting her to talk, wanted her to talk bad about Trump. She says, I want to throw something in. She says that President Trump is actually beloved in all the Muslim countries that she travels through because of the things that he has did that saved so many Muslim lives. Because by, you know, so absolutely, absolutely. And they even like President Bush for wiping out Saddam Hussein. But he's beloved. You know, and she even went against the misuse of the word Islamophobia. Folks, we are in that time of the end. Things are happening and are happening fast. You cannot go to sleep. And the devil is coming hard against us. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about how the devil attacked this ministry today and some other important things. I got some notes up here, and I'll tell you what happened to my notes. It was kind of frustrating today. I thought I was all set for radio, was going to hook up the new board, and boy, this seemed like, I had a firestorm over here. So where can they find us to check us out?
ProphecyHour.com.
What can you find there?
Everything. All the addresses, where to donate, what we do, everything.
Everything.
All the programs and everything.
Everything, everything. Okay. Well, we'll leave with that. Mom says everything, and, you know, she tells the truth. So we'll be back in four minutes. 4 minutes. Oh, my.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
grace you bestowed, and you gave your life on that old rugged cross. You shed your blood just for me. You could have called all the armies of heaven, but you chose to set the captive.
The art of decorating eggs dates back to the spring rituals of pagan sun worship thousands of years before Christ. The spring fertility goddess Aphrodite, Eostre, or Easter, was thought to have turned a bird into a hare, thus the Easter bunny laying eggs. The most important motif or decoration pattern was the symbol of the sun, crosses, triangles, rosettes, and stars. The egg representing fertility has played many different roles throughout the ages, and has been associated with the pagan sun worship of many civilizations, including Greece and Rome, the Germanic countries, and even in Japan and China. One Egyptian account relating to the mystic egg of the Babylonians says that a very large egg fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. When the egg was hatched, out of it came the goddess Venus, or Astarte, from whom the name Easter is derived. Today, on the date known as Easter, which is celebrated at the exact time as the pagan fertility rites of antiquity, Easter egg hunts are held by traditional Christian churches around the world. Many times, religious leaders, fully aware of the abominable practices associated with Easter, fail to sound the alarm. The Bible says that they will be held accountable. It is no coincidence that the pagan practice of decorating eggs has crept into the organized church, and is now associated with the resurrection of Christ. It is part of an age-old scheme to substitute the ways of the heathen in place of the true worship of the Creator. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking about a lot of different things today. We were talking about before the break about how Trump once again blessed Israel, and that's good for the United States, and I don't know if there's people that have heard this and not heard it, but, you know, the covenant that was made with Abraham is an everlasting covenant, and extends on. And because of this rule, you know, we've talked about it on previous programs, how that when we curse Israel, that more than that came in the form of Katrina and other things, you know, that, that cursed us for giving away land. Well, right now, he's increasing land, but I need to give him this covenant. And so I'll let you read this real quick, Mom.
Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land which I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Right. Amen. And that's an everlasting covenant that goes on. And so right now, currently, that's the prosperity and things that Trump has been able to create. And, you know, historic low in jobs. Never in history have we had such low job unemployment numbers as there is right now, you know. And that part of these blessings come because the United States is blessing Israel. You know, like today, they stood up, Trump says, and on Purim, amen, when the nations of the world are coming against Israel, and granted, there's a few that are standing with America, you know, with Israel, but not any of the major countries, so to speak. But the point is that on a day that genocide almost happened to the Jews, the Father turned it around and made the Jews great in Persia. In fact, Mordecai rose up to be right under the king, and he was a Jew. But where just a few, we'll call it moments later or before, he was to be hanged
right.
and killed. Well, so anyway, today Trump gave a blessing to Israel that, yes, forget about what the United Nations and everybody says. You got to keep the Golan Heights, which is imperative to, you know, the safety of Israel and the well-being of Israel. So that's a blessing that came out today. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. Now, I believe that now we are, when you're grafted in and you're saved, and even most of the Christian world believes it right now. They say, well, who are you? Well, we're Israel, you know. Well, they don't understand the whole concept of grafted in, but it is a fact that we become part of Israel, you know. We're grafted in among them. And so the devil comes against us just as hard as it comes against Israel, and let alone today. And I believe that, and this is part of, what I was talking about in the first of the program, a few weeks back, I guess I've been talking about it for a while, about getting equipment replaced here in the office, because everything is so old, you know. I mean, it only has a lifespan of so long and so many hours. And so I've been using this straight for, you know, the equipment I have now is 8 years and older. Anyway, make a long story short, I got a replacement computer, which is really faster than my other computer, once everything's configured right. Well, I don't do all that configuring myself because I don't have all the resources to do it. It's done from somebody in another state, and he does it online. You know, he goes over and controls everything. And so I wanted to just clone the computer, but he didn't. He said, oh, we don't have to clone it. I can just put different things in it. Cloning it means that you run a cable from one to the other, and you just make an exact copy. I wish that's what we'd have did. But anyway, today I thought I had all the radio programs in it and everything I needed in the main computer. So it's hooked up and I start working and all the stuff starts breaking down and it wouldn't, and firewalls and different things were up and wouldn't let things go in. And I couldn't even get all my email downloaded because two programs were in conflict. And so I messed with it for a while, and I'd already made my radio notes for the program. Right now, I'm just kind of guessing at what we're going to do today. But point is it was a real disaster. I spent about 2 or 3 hours trying to get out of it. And then the Internet messed up, and which meant that also the Skype computer all of a sudden had problems in it. And so, which it's, the Skype computer is okay right now. But it was quite a mess here for a while. You know, and this is all on Purim, right? And so then my son walks in getting ready for, because, you know, we're already getting ready for what comes next month.
Passover.
Passover, April 19th. Well, it's actually the 20th, but it's the evening of the 19th.
Which is a Friday, which makes it a Sabbath this year.
Yeah, it'll be on a Sabbath, but we're not going in and talking about that. That'll take up the whole program to explain the ins and outs of all that. But it's good though, because the preparation for it isn't falling on a Sabbath.
No, it's on Friday.
It's on Friday, which is actually, Friday is actually the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. You're supposed to use Friday to get ready for the Sabbath.
It's a double Sabbath.
But so it'll be the weekly Sabbath and
Passover Sabbath.
And Passover, but Passover isn't a Sabbath.
Not, but this year it is, because it's Friday dark to Saturday dark.
Right, it falls on the Sabbath.
On the rest,
then then what do you mean by double Sabbath?
Because it's the regular weekly Sabbath, and when you add Passover to it, which is not normally a Sabbath, but it falls on the Sabbath, so it is a Sabbath. But it wouldn't be a double Sabbath, because it's not normally a Sabbath. So you're right. Okay, I got it. It's a Sabbath this year, but it's not normally a Sabbath, so it can't be a double Sabbath.
Actually, it means there is a double Sabbath, because my wife is not using her thinking cap. Because what is the day after Passover?
Saturday at dark will begin the first day of unleavened bread, but that will be
Sunday. And it's what?
The first day of unleavened bread. It's
and
a Sabbath,
first,
a high Sabbath.
It's a high Sabbath, so there will be a double Sabbath.
Back-to-back Sabbath.
Right. That's actually called a double Sabbath when it's back-to-back like that. So it will be a double Sabbath. It will be so Saturday and from Friday night at dark till Sunday dark will be Sabbath.
Right.
You know, so nobody can call
me. No work.
Which,
yay.
Which dishes,
no laundry, no sweeping, no nothing.
Yeah.
Don't look for Monday. Yeah.
Because then you got double all the junk, you know. And so, anyway, but the point is, so we're getting ready for Sabbath. Now, we normally have our Passover dinner at the church, the Mission Church in Wichita, but we decided our little family congregation and a few others, everybody's considered family, we decided to have it here
in Florence,
and, you know, which makes it neater. We're trying to personalize it more. But my son, my 18-year-old sitting over here that's recording this program, a buddy of his popped up and said, hey, you guys do that Sabbath or that Passover thing or Easter thing, what he called it, and we clarified it was Passover. But he says, well, he's a farmer. He says, I grow lambs. He said, I got a lamb off Sega for Passover.
I grow lambs? I want to see that.
Raises lambs
okay.
Still growing up. You don't waste the program on that.
Okay. Anyway, go back to your story.
Anyway, so my son's also wanting to get into hunting and things and killing things, that sounds bad, animals from hunting for meat. And so he decided with his buddy that his buddy said, well, he'd help him slaughter it. And, you know, they would cut it all up, and then we'd use it for Passover. So I thought that would be really cool. And, of course, my wife's sitting over here frowning. You want to meet the lamb first, right?
No. Not really, no.
Okay. Anyway,
I'll say, no, Bob, no. It's my cat.
Moving right along. Anyway, he walked in the door today and told me that the lamb died. And so this Passover lamb that, you know, is dead, I mean, we've got to look elsewhere. And so I had the money for that lamb, but I called today another guy that has a live lamb, because most people are taking them right now to the slaughter, I would guess. And once they go through a slaughterhouse, the price goes way up. But anyway, this lamb that I'm trying to get now, I've got to raise money for it. I got to do it quickly. I don't have enough money for this. I had enough for the other one, not enough for this, but. So that was devastating to me. I had to call this other person, and I don't have enough cash to pay him and also pay for the gas and everything to go. I need to raise another $100 really, really, really quick to get that Passover lamb. That was one of my, and this came right in the middle of the time that I'm trying to work on all these computers. In fact, we're on live now at the second program that came on at 7 o'clock, but we were supposed to do a program at what time? 5 p.m. Central. And so they're only getting one radio program out of us this week. Next week, they'll get two, though, because we're going to be on a Mega Man. And
Well, they'll get three then, because we do two on Thursday, too.
Well, okay, yeah, they'll get three. Yeah, you're right. We'll get three. But anyway, so, you know, folks, Messiah's Branch is, we're really like a home church with a building. It's the Father kept me up all night, told us what to do, and we've been doing it. We're in our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year in June. But, you know, practically everything that we get goes into maintaining radio and maintaining the Homeless and Poor Mission. And that's, you know, it's really, really hard.
It's full-time.
It's full-time work because when we're not there doing the Mission Church, we're here
preparing for the Mission Church.
Preparing for the Mission Church. Right, and that's like radio. Radio just doesn't come like that. I have to do call notes and preparations, and we get guests on, you know, and that's really hard to get quality guests on. There are so many different podcasts out there, and we're not really a podcast, we're a radio program, and it was easier to get people on radio because, you know, people just didn't have the venue like podcasts. In fact, a lot of my very good guests that I've had over the years, nowadays they just do their own podcast because that's practically where everybody goes to listen anymore, less and less people are actually listening to talk radio on radio. But, you know, we still are, but the point is that. So it's harder to get quality guests because there's so many different podcasts out there, and so it makes it tougher. So it's a lot of work to do it. And then after you get somebody, you got to do research on them because you don't want to get somebody that might be contrary to, you know, the Father's beliefs. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Not that everything is always with the Father's belief, but you have to do your best to try and censor that out.
Right. You know, I mean, look, we can, there's a lot of points we can disagree on with other people because nobody agrees the same, you know. But there's some fundamental things that can't, you know, you can't
that
cross
makes you
that
decide
line.
Whether they're going to be on or not be on, because live radio, you can't take back, you can't rewind cut. It's there. Once you say it, it's out there.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank, for doing that. Anyway. But yeah, there's no mute button or anything, and you don't know what. So you're responsible. That's what I'm getting down. And we live in an age where nobody acts like they're responsible for anything. But if I promote somebody on live radio, and later I find out they believe in late term abortions and slaughtering kids on the table, and I never check that out with them, then, you know, all the people that have went to them and listened to them, I'm helping to.
You're responsible for.
Right, right, exactly. And so it's a lot of work. And so that's why I'm surrounded by books. You know, I always ask them if they wrote a book or they haven't wrote a book, I have to quiz them and find out what they're about. If they wrote a book, you know, read a book and they're there to promote it, then I got to read the book. And so, it takes a lot.
So the bottom line is.
Tell them.
We are full-time doing ministry to do the Lord's work, so we need you to support us so we can continue to do the work. So we need monthly supporters.
Okay. That's pretty good. I don't know if you're talking loud enough. I guess you are. I guess Frank's not complaining.
I don't see no notes, so I guess I'm doing good.
Well, right. But that's the point. No. So in that was part of it. I wanted to have this new mixer hooked up that somebody blessed us with. So that what it does is if you talk low and I talk high, it's called a compressor and it makes evens it out. And so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I don't have it hooked up because why? Because all these attacks came against
me. It was a bad day.
Yeah, it was a bad day.
Sun's gone down, so we're starting a new day. So.
Well, and say goodbye to Purim, but, you know, it's still a really great day, and there was some blessing come for Israel, and I'm happy with that. And also, folks, when you stand up for Israel, then you will be under attack because Yeshua says if they hated me, they'll hate you also. And so that is exactly how it goes. So anyway, we need your help for the Wichita Mission Church, and again, I'm trying to do things over here at the office. One, we haven't paid for radio yet this month. We've got a few days left. I need $250 to pay for radio. If you folks send in a donation for radio, you need to mark it as radio. Otherwise, when the money comes in, it goes just to whatever is needed right at that moment. And so...
And there's still bills that need paid for this month, too, so we do need financial help.
Right, right. In fact, I had another $100 that I had cash put away for other parts of the meal than the lamb, and I had today you needed it for bills, and so I gave it to you for bills.
Right.
And that was just money I'd saved a little bit here and there, but It did not come in designated for Passover, but it was just a few bucks here and a few bucks there until I built it up to 100. And anyway, so that went on.
And then tomorrow's Friday. We'll both need gas money for tomorrow. And I think we've got the meal there, but we do need gas money for tomorrow.
Well, we always need sausage and inch, but here's the deal now. One of our Craig, say goodbye to Craig.
Bye, Craig.
Craig has been a blessing to us. He's still part of our congregation, but he's been off work for almost 7 years, and he's not been bumming around. He supports himself. He owns his own house and everything, but he prayed about it. He was contacted by an aircraft company, and so after praying much prayer about it and everything, Craig's going back to work. Well, Craig has been helping us at the Mission Church both Tuesday and Friday. He opens up before we get there and has a coffee and tea ready, and he helps do my job of making sure everybody behaves.
And he's the egg sandwich cooker.
And he's been the egg sandwich cooker. That part of it we've already got handled, but the point is I have to change my shopping routine because I usually wait till I get there and see if this is wrong or that's wrong because we don't have – here's really hard – try every day that you get ready to have a meal, and let alone a meal for maybe up to 70 people, that you got to go to the store for it just right before the meal or
right.
During a meal.
You have to figure out what you're going to make. You have to go to the store and make sure you got everything. Yeah, it's a headache. It's stressful.
It's very stressful.
It's very stressful.
Right, that's better. Anyway, yes, it's very, very stressful. And so I'll have to change that, but we don't have enough extra funds to, like, say, go shopping for a month at a time. It would be nice to be able to go buy a month's worth of meat, but the money that hasn't been coming that way. But while we always have enough meat, we make it one way or another. The point is a lot of times that's last minute go for.
Right.
You know?
And that's been since 2008. Before that, we really didn't have that problem. But since the economy crashed, it's been a very hard struggle to keep everything afloat. It's really, really hard.
Right. But, you know, we've faithfully been doing it for 19 years, and that means even knowing that we don't have things there and maybe not even enough gas to get there and back, we still leave by faith. We believe the Father will provide it. And somehow, some way, we have never failed.
Right.
And
he has never failed us.
That's what I was going to say, because he has never failed us. But so pray about it, folks. We really do need your support. We really, really do. These radio programs is what brings people in to support us. And it's kind of hard, too. Like one week they might like the wonderful guests that I have, and the next week they don't like, oh, I don't like what he was talking about, so no donation from that person, you know. It's not like we're getting millions of dollars in the mail or whatever.
No, we struggle. It's one day at a time.
One day at a time. Absolutely. Actually, 1 hour a lot of times. Anyway, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. And you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, you can donate online. Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right. So you want to tell me anything else about donations? No?
Just pray about what the Lord puts on your heart and send it, because usually when he tells you we need it, we do, and someone's coming for it. But above all, we need financial help.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we're wise with your money. I mean, it isn't like I got a Cadillac sitting out here or a brand-new truck. I drive a 1997 Ford F-150.
Over 300,000
miles. 330-some thousand miles on it. And, you know, and it's just like now. Part of your taillight fell off. Here's a good example.
My new truck that was just given to me last year. It'll be a year in June someone gave me a truck, but, yeah, it seems to be falling apart.
Okay, well, that wasn't what I was going to say, but it's running pretty good. But here's the point. Tomorrow we got to come up with $50 because half of the red cover over the taillight just fell off. And the it's all one unit, and so that piece fell off. You can't just buy that piece. You have to buy the whole taillight housing unit. And that's $49 plus tax walking in it at any auto parts. I checked it out. Now, if I ordered it online, I could get it for $49 for two that match. But the point is, we don't have $49 plus tax right now to buy it unless you got something I don't know about.
No, I need bill money.
Right. So you could get stopped by not having one taillight. You know, so the point is, we do need your help. Pray about it. Anyway, good news. Where is there good news in all of this?
The good news is the Lord loves us.
The Lord loves us. Yeah, the good news, folks, is we help a lot of people. There are so many miracle prayers that come out of the Wichita Mission Church. I can't even count them. I've seen people get, they've had brain tumors that have been healed. People supposed to go in for a brain tumor operation, pray for them the day before, they go the next day, it's just not there. And we've seen that with heart problems and everything else.
Lungs, hearts, just about everything.
Right, absolutely. And so, you know, people come to us for help because they see that we're different. You know, when you minister to a person, it isn't just all with words, it's by actions. Look at it. You sure fed people. You know, and he healed people, and he did those things. And where was he at? He was among the poor and among the sinners. He wasn't doing it at the synagogue, and he didn't go someplace, and he didn't do it among the people that were already saved, so to speak. He did it where they were. We are in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through. Example, we had some guests come a couple of weeks ago, and this is another reason why we don't have a huge congregation. How can you build a huge congregation when people are scared to come to where you're at?
After dark, especially.
Right. And so the man and his mother that came, and wanted to leave early because she was really worried about the neighborhood they were in. And by rights, she should be. But I would walk, you know, I still walked them out and everything, and they got out of there safely. But it is, I mean, right there on the street, there's prostitutes and there's drug dealers and people doing all kinds of things.
People have been shot within a block from the church.
Oh, yeah. And it's been, actually, the church used to be a bar, and the last owner of the bar, it closed down when he almost got stabbed to death and thrown in the dumpster out back.
Right.
And that's what closed it down before we found it 10 years later and turned it into a mission church.
Which has now been 22 years later. Because we've been in there 12 years, and it was 10 years empty before we got it.
Yeah, I think it was something like, it was in the 95 or 90s. I found a newspaper in there.
You did?
Yeah, one of those, you know, Skid Row Go magazine things that they do from all the bars. And I think the date on it was 90-something, I think 95 or 96. I don't know if that sounds right, but so it hadn't been open in a while. But the point is, it's now. It's a blessing for the Father, and it's a blessing to the people. Even though that there's a lot of agencies springing up, agencies do agency things. We cater to the need of the person that walks in the door. And
speaking of which, we need men's clothing terribly bad. We have abundance of children's clothes, but we also need women's clothes. But most of all, we need men's clothes. And right now, T-shirts and socks are the big thing we need because summertime's coming and they need T-shirts and socks.
Yeah. Absolutely. And for the record, how long we've been doing talk radio since I started doing talk radio right after 9/11, and that was about 2001. Well, 2002, first of 2002. We've been on American Voice Radio since 2004.
Oh.
And so that's 14 years. That's from the first when this station started up. We came on, and we've been here ever since. Now, you've always been a guest once in a while, but you've been for about what? When did you start doing it 3 days
a week? Well, you're the boss. When did I start?
I don't know. I'm going to be 64 years old. You think my memory, after about a month or two, it seems like, oh, well, whenever.
Oh, it's in your notes.
Yeah, I know. But here's the point. This year, so you started coming on three times a month with me, and how come not four?
He said, I want to put you on radio once a month, and then once a month turned into every other week, which turned into would be every week, but I donate my time to the Marion County Food Bank on the second Thursday of every month. So, and then not only that, he added two more programs with Omega Man.
No, the story is wrong about that. I asked her if she wanted to go on Omega Man once with me, and then she said, am I going on there more? And she kept pushing for it because guess what?
Oh.
She loves radio now. You ought to hear her talk. I hear her talk on the phone. Well, I got live radio that day. And, you know, it sounds like myself because.
Next thing you know, I'll be doing Pastor Dan's job.
No, you won't.
That's funny. No, yeah. I won't. I will not.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a guest.
Well, you better tell. Well, you're a guest host.
I'm a guest host.
Host.
I'm hosting the guest.
Yeah, if we had a guest, and I've got somebody coming on that. Well, I've got some interviews lined up that we're going to interview them together. But we got to get out of here, so tell them goodbye.
Okay, people, shalom. Pray about supporting Messiah's Branch, and you'd be blessing a lot of people by doing that. So until next week, shalom.
We must remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a what?
Blessing to others.
Blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, and the Word tells us to do that. Okay, pray about it. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan and
Sister Linda saying shalom.
Goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.